Amen. Y'all didn't know I could not sing. That's why we have brothers and sisters. And God has blessed you with different melodies. And I'm thankful. But that's one of my favorite songs I used to sing a long time ago. And I just love that song because we're talking about our Lord and our Savior. I'm seeing if I can. Little technical difficulty. Oh, okay. If you can hit the lights for this area so people can see this very good. Okay. I said in the first service, and I'll tell you too, that I'm 72 years old, and so I realize that there's a lot of things I can't do like I used to do. But I do the best I can with what God has given me. But one thing that he's put in me and my wife is our passion for missions. And I want to say to Greenville Avenue, I'm just so thankful to the blessings that we have from you. And as we go through this, I want you to see that this is not just me and my wife, but you're going to see other people, but more importantly, it's us. And so I'm going to take you on a little journey, and then I'll tell you what I'm going to talk about, and then we'll end the message. You see, number one, God is our creator. Amen. And he has made us. And when we talk about God in the scriptures and they use the word God, we're talking about God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And they're the ones in the beginning created the heavens and the earth. God spoke and the Spirit moved across the waters. And when you read Genesis, the first chapter, the second chapter, and the third chapter, you're going to see that God decided to make man. That was his plan, to make us man. And he took man out of the dust of the earth and he made him. But he didn't stop there. He gave man a helpmeet. That was Eve. But he didn't take her out of the dirt. He took her out of the man. And from her, from Eve, all generations come. You and I are here because of God working. Because he told Adam and Eve, he said, now you go and you replenish the earth. Be fruitful and multiply. We are part of the family from the beginning. So when you check your DNA, make sure they take you all the way back to Genesis and don't just stop at Noah and the flood. All right. God has blessed us and he's touched all men everywhere. We are to go into all the world and share the good news of the gospel to every nation, every tribe, every village, every, you name it, we go. But we don't go alone. When we go with a purpose, and that perfect purpose is for the ministering to widows and orphans. That's what I'm going to talk about today. But I'm talking about the widows and orphans, but our ministry is bigger than that. And many of you are involved in the various ministries here at Greenville Avenue Church of Christ. And see, that's one good thing, that we're all involved in something. Well, we're reaching out, and what I want you to see is we're reaching out to orphans and widows. And in some places, these orphans are mentally and physically challenged. Like this here is a picture of Francis, who's a preacher. He preaches for three congregations, but he moves around and he works with the orphans. And these orphans, some of them can't walk, they can't talk, they don't have food, they don't have shelter, but through him, doing the best that he can to help these orphans. We're thankful that he is one of the ministers, the many ministers, that we, Greenville Avenue, support. Not only that, we're going to find that When you think in terms of going out and reaching orphans and widows, and a lot of times as children go through the different stages of childbirth, child, then teen, adult, mature adult, and senior, there's questions that they have, you know, especially the orphans and the widows. And even we have probably had some of these questions that we ask in our hearts, and that is, why am I here in time? Why now? What for? How long? And then, what is my purpose for existence? And then, where can I find the truth? In other words, we hear different messages in the world. And in this world is the kingdom of darkness. But we need to be found in the kingdom of light. And the way to be found there is that we've got to have the truth. And so we need to take the truth, those of us who have it, those of us who are in the kingdom of light, as we go through the kingdom of darkness, we need to find those who are lost and are truth seekers before it's the end of their time. Well, there's a Church of Christ in Nardali. This is in northern, the way north part of Ghana. And these two preachers and brothers, they love people and they love orphans and the widows, and they want to do what they can for them. Jacob is on the right and Emmanuel is on the left. And I always like Emmanuel because, you know, Emmanuel is God with us. And so they work in this area, but Jacob also works in Tamsil. He's one of the preachers we've been working with for a long time. And many of us have been there. Even one of the elders and two of the preachers have gone to his place. But this is Ma Chris Christian Academy. This is the second place that Jacob has helped to establish. He established the first Ma Chris, that's in Tamsil, and this one is in Nandali. And so he works with this young man, Emmanuel, and you can find more information in the pamphlet that they'll be handing out as you leave the auditorium. But here at this place, these are all the orphans that they service at this place. And there's over 38, you'll see on the screen, 38 orphans. People who don't have fathers, don't have mothers, are street walkers, and they're not going to school, and they're just a society of young people that one day, if we don't bring them the truth and take them into the light, they're going to stay in darkness, and they're going to be the problems in this world. But Emmanuel and his wife Esther, she works in the school with Emmanuel, and he has strong credentials as a teacher, and when he quit his job to become a preacher, he left a good job to just do the Lord's work, and the Lord has blessed him. And guess what? The Lord's going to bless him even more because we know him. And Greenville Avenue now knows him. Amen? Amen. Amen. These are four young men who also came to this academy. They were young. They finished junior high, and they're getting ready to go to high school. Amen. And they're going to be going to high school as children of light. They're Christians. Along with them, now this is a widower. She lost her husband, but she is the housekeeper for these, I think it's 10 or 12, 10 children. And I'm saying, our African brothers and sisters in Africa, they don't let, if it's possible, they don't let children run free and loose and homeless on the streets. They take them in. But I know it's hard here in the States because we got to go through a lot of red tape. See, otherwise, I think many of us with kind hearts would have a house full of kids. Amen? Amen. I'll hold that to you because, see, if you can't have the kids here, support some of the kids there. All right? All right. She's not only a housekeeper, but she's also a cook. She cooks for the school. And as you see, she's sitting now in her kitchen along with her helper. And the kitchen, you know, there's dust and there's insects flying, and that can get in the food. And so we want to help them get a kitchen, you know, or something where that'll help and protect them so the kids won't be getting sick or infected by various foods. But also, we want to make sure that when we come with Jesus. We bring a Bible study. And so right now, I want you to study with us. And the Bible is like a giant puzzle. If you ever look at the Bible, you got all these pieces, Old Testament, New Testament. You got the flood. You got the patriarchs. You got the prophets. In the New Testament, you got Jesus. You got the kingdom, his kingdom. Then you have all the things. You got the sinners and the saved. And you got the Jew and the Gentiles being reconciled. And so all of this is in there, and the Bible's like a big, giant puzzle. But I'm just going to take two pieces of the puzzle. Otherwise, I'd be here all day, Fred. Two pieces of the puzzle. The kingdom culture and relationships, because we're going to look at the orphans. One of the things we're going to look at is in relationships, there's always, remember, there's two main relationships. The first one is a vertical to God. We must have a relationship with our Creator, the one who's made us, the one in whom we live, we move, and we have our very being. And then with the other relationship is the horizontal to man. But we must remember that in our vertical relationship, we serve a God that is love. And not only is God love, but Jesus, his son, is also love. And when Jesus and God is love, if we love them, Jesus said, if you love my Father, you'll do his will. If you love me, you'll keep my commandments. Where do you find this? We find this in John the 13th chapter, maybe the 14th chapter, 1 John the 2nd chapter. I'm giving you the chapters because I don't have time to go through the verses. But I want you to be Bereans. I'll give you the chapters and you search the scriptures. And when you see that I'm saying what is so, say amen. All right. So a vertical relationship with God, but the foundation is love. A lawyer put Jesus to the test. What is the great commandment? And the lawyer said to love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, soul, mind, and strength. And then the second was likened to the first. He said, love your neighbor as yourself. Now, horizontal relationship. You know what? And John tells us in 1 John, I think around the 5th chapter, somewhere in there, but you find it, where it'll say, Jesus says, one of the passages is, how can you love your brother whom you've seen, and how you can say you love God who you have not seen, and hate your brother who you have seen? And then the other one is, how can you say that you love God and hate your brother?
Amen.
When God is love, Jesus is love, and you're a child of God, so you should be loved. So what's the connection? How can I love you in spite of?
Amen.
Like Jesus did. Jesus loved us, but he hated sin. And we got to love one another and hate sin. So if our brothers and sisters are sinning, we confront them with the truth. But we tell them, look, I'm telling you this because I love you. And that's what I'm about. Because I've got to be an example like my father, like my elder brother, Jesus, who is the king. All right? So anyway, I don't want to labor too long. I want you to see something. Individually and collectively, we're also a puzzle. The Bible's a puzzle, but individually and collectively, let's connect the dots. Ray and Mary, we go out, part of the puzzle of the kingdom. Randy, part of the puzzle. Cedric, part of the puzzle. You think that's all? No. Guess what? Christ Disciples at GACC, that's you, part of the puzzle. And guess what? We're all interconnected. See, we all are children of God. We all have his purpose in our lives. That reminds me, 1 Corinthians 12, 12 through 14, for by one spirit we've been baptized into one body. Amen. And in that one body, though there be many, but yet many members, yet one body. And guess what? We all have different functions, different abilities, different talents. That's why not all of you are going to go on a mission field. Many of you are going to do your mission here with the sick, with the visiting the people in jail, visiting the people in the hospital, making pillows, doing the homes where the kids are. The ministries are here. You don't have to go. You just have to serve where you are. Amen. And if God puts it on your heart to do, then you got to do it. Right. You got to do it. I'll explain more as we go along. But I want you just to see, we are interconnected. When we go on the field, my wife, Randy, Cedric, we don't go alone. We go with you, Greenville Avenue. We are ambassadors also for Christ. We got a message of reconciliation. But in the message of reconciliation, we also got a hand that's out there to help. See, because we know there's physical needs as well as spiritual needs. So now, let's look at kingdom culture, because this is where it all happens. Kingdom culture. In Ephesians 2 and 10, this is the passage that I'm going to work with today. And in Ephesians 2 and 10, it says, we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus, unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. That's American Standard Version. And so we're going to look at God's perfect purpose for ministering to widows and orphans. Kingdom culture. Four areas I'm going to talk on this morning. The root, our faith, his fruit, our behavior. When I finish, the lesson will be yours. Ephesians 2, out of the Easy Reading Bible. God has made us what we are in Christ Jesus. God made us new people so that we would spend our lives doing good things. He had already planned for us to do. Think about that. The root. We're going to look at the root, the source. The source is God. Individuals in Christ. You see, in Christ, God made us to do good things. Amen. In Christ, individuals in the puzzle. Kingdom culture, Ephesians 2:10, again, we're going to look at now our faith. God has made us what we are in Christ Jesus. God made us new people so that we would spend our lives doing the good things he had already planned for us. God, the root. But in the root, there's a location. You see, this kind of reminds me of Psalms. I think it's Psalms 1, 1 through 3. Yeah, Psalms 1, 1 through 3, my Bereans. Just check this out. But in there, you're going to find that we're like a tree planted by the rivers of water. That's in the third verse, I believe. And in that verse, in our season, we're going to bring forth fruit. But what is that saying to me? It's saying that God is the root. And the tree, I see the tree as Christ. And he puts us, the tree in the water. God provides the nourishment in the water. But then the water that comes through the tree, I think of in terms of, this is just an illustration, come through Christ. And see, that water turns into living water. And then we, according to John 15, I believe it is, when it talks about the vine and God, and it talks about we are the vine and Jesus is the branch and God is the vine dresser. And so what I want us to see is that as the branch, our faith must be in what God is doing to us and in us in Christ Jesus. What is our faith in? Our faith is in the fact that we are new creatures. We aren't the old person of sin. But when we went down in the watery grave of baptism, we came up new creatures in Christ Jesus. You see, we have the root, and then we have the location in Christ Jesus. And therefore, we are new creatures. Our faith is in God's purpose. We are new creatures. But our purpose, we're going to see, is that as individuals in Christ, we have purpose. And that purpose is going to be that we are to have fruit. The Bible says God has made us new people so that we would spend our lives with purpose. Spend our lives with purpose. What purpose? Doing good things. He had already planned for us to do. In other words, our life isn't a puzzle in the sense of, well, I got to find out what piece go here, what piece go there. No, when God made us, He prepared us for good things that He plans, not we. Now, I'm not saying don't make plans in your life, but I'm saying this. When you make plans with God. Don't make plans without God, all right? Because remember, it's in Him we live, we move, we have our very being. It's in Him that we are protected. It's in Him that we have comfort. It's in Him that we have wisdom and understanding, doing good works, the fruit. Let's look at the fruit. Good works. That's what it's about. Our fruit is good works. But here, catch something here. It's one thing to talk about doing something.
Amen.
But it's another thing
Amen.
Of doing it. He made us not just to talk about it. He said to do good works. Galatians 6 and I'll be verse 10. Do good as you have opportunity. Do good to all men, but especially those of the household of faith. You see, Galatians 6:10. In Christ, individuals, purpose, do good. Good works to all men. But see, the root is God. Our faith is what He's doing in us, through us, in Christ Jesus. The fruit is we're to do good works. Let me share something with you. You see, God wants us to do good works. But God, I can't define. I'm not you. So I can't define what is good works. You're my Father. You tell me what are good works. So when I'm doing what I'm doing, I'm pleasing you.
Amen.
And not just me. And so the fruit is good works, but also there's our behavior. And guess what? Our behavior is based on opportunities. Our behavior is based on what God gives us, opportunities. Do you think he's just going to say, you do good works, and not tell you about them? He's going to give us opportunities to do good. Now, think about it. In Christ, purpose, good works, opportunities, widows and orphans. But I want to show you something. Opportunities. You know, one of the things Jesus said, he said, by their fruit, you'll know that they are my disciples. You see, we had the root, which is God. We had the faith. It's what God is doing to us and for us in Christ Jesus. Now, next comes the fruit. See? But it's just like this fruit here. This is like a tangerine oil. And so you would say this is a tangerine, right? Looking at the fruit. But one of the things we learn in life, if many of you have grown up, you probably heard this saying, you cannot judge a book by its cover.
Amen.
See, the fruit, yes, but the fruit has to have content. Martin Luther King said, there's going to come a day when my children, they won't be judged by their skin, but by their character. That's right. Not the color of their skin, but the content of their character. You see, many of us say, I'm a disciple of Christ.
Amen.
I see your skin.
Amen.
But I need to know that there's content. And see, when Jesus is in us, that seed, according to Galatians 3, the Bible says that Jesus was the seed that they talked about, that all the world is going to be blessed by. Verse 16, going to be that seed. And see, one thing about a seed, it's got to germinate. And so God gave us a gift. He gave us the Holy Spirit. And that Holy Spirit, he's there to help us in our studying. And so the Bible says, don't be deceived. Look, there's a fact. You are the temple. Your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit. 2 Corinthians, I believe, it's 2 Corinthians, the third chapter, around verse 16. Also, it's that sixth chapter, and around verse 19, so forth, where it talks about we are the temple, and the Spirit is in us, and it's going to germinate in us so that we can bear fruit. And when we bear fruit, we're going to have content. And what's going to be the content of the fruit is when you go to Galatians, the fifth chapter, around verse 16 and so forth, it says, now you walk by the Spirit, and you will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. And then it'll say, a little further down, it'll say, the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace. I mean, it goes on. And so I'm saying we, as disciples, we're not just skin. We have fruit. And that's how we can love one another. That's how we can love God. It's by our fruit they'll know that we are his disciples. By our fruit. I left my clicker up here. You see, there's going to be a judgment. And in that judgment, Jesus is going to come and he's going to separate the sheep and the goat. Sheep are going to be on the right. Goat are going to be on the left. But Lord, why? How can you separate us? Well, verse 34, then shall the king say unto them on his right hand, come ye blessed of my father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungry and you gave me to eat. I was thirsty and you gave me drink. I was a stranger and you took me in. I was naked and you clothed me. I was sick and you visited me. I was in prison and you came unto me. Those are ministries. And guess what? Good works. He prepared for us. And then he gave us opportunities. Those ministries are opportunities to serve our fellow man. We just happen to pick widows and orphans. That's our passion. What is your passion?
Amen.
Are you more than just skin? Where's your fruit? Let me talk about what Greenville Avenue has done. I want to share this with you because we're talking about widows and orphans and how we minister to them. And I just want to share this. You see the young man on the right. His name is Michael. 17 years old. His mother died in childbirth. His father left. He don't even know who his father is. But he's a good worker in the Lord's church. He does a lot of youth work. He's an organizer. When his mother died, his father, he don't know who he is. He stayed with his grandmother. But unfortunately, last month, his grandmother passed. And so he was left with nobody. He went to visit a friend. Friend going to let him stay in his house. But then he went to see the other young man, Francis, who's holding his degree. And Francis, he cried to Francis and told his story. And Francis said, look, we're gonna see what we can do. But he just graduated from junior high, and he's getting ready to go to high school, but there's no way to finance it. But Francis said, look, we're gonna see what we can do. And so Francis, I'll tell you in a minute about him, but he's like one of my sons. And so he calls me and he says, Dad, this is the situation. We need to help. And so it's not what I don't know. It's what I do know. And James 1, around verse 22, it said, be doers of the word and not hearers only. We can't do everything, but God brings the opportunity. What we do with the opportunity is left to our choice. See? And so when it comes to widows and orphans, it says, you remember them, verse 27, remember them in their affliction. See? And so these are the things that God confronts me with. And so as you and I work in the vineyard of Africa, and so a lot of things I don't bring to you until now. I don't even bring to the elders until now. I use the budget they give me, but when it runs out, I knock on their door. I need some more. All right. But anyway, Francis, right next to him. Now, Francis, he wrote a letter to the congregation. If you don't mind, I'll just take a moment to read this, pick out bits of it. But Francis is one of the young men. You know, the seniors that graduate here at Greenville Avenue, they take up a collection each year and they donate it to the work in Africa. They give me a check each year and I take it and I give it to be used to one of the orphans. And so we help them in their schooling. And so Francis is one that we helped when he was in junior high, getting ready to go to high school. And so, but We've helped him again as he needed help over the years. We, Greenville Avenue. I'm just a mediator. Anyway, he says, I had wonderful parents until things started to fall apart. I lost my dad at 7, and there were 6 of us in the family. And he said, after the death of my father, life became very hard for us. My extended family, they turned their back on us. They left us to take care of ourselves financially. The financial problem was that there were 6 of us, and 3 of us who were in school had to drop out. And I was one that had to drop out. And so therefore, I had to go and try to find ways to make money to take care of my brothers and sisters and help my mom. And so he says, I was a porter. I carried things for people. I cleaned and washed cars for money just to survive. And I also made sure that I brought some money home so that the family could eat. But when we had a bad day, there were times I came home and we didn't have anything to eat. I didn't have anything to give to the family. But he says that they were always praying and backing me up as a family as I went out each day trying to get money. But he said in the village, there was a policeman. And the policeman, when he sees kids on the street that should be in school, he goes and gets them. Well, anyway, and he takes them to the police station, and then he'll call the parent, and they'll find the parent. And so on one day, the police saw him. He ran as fast as he could, and he ran home. But the police followed him home, and he told his mom, why isn't he in school? And the mom related to him the situation, why he was on the street. And the policeman was touched, almost to tears. And he said, I'm going to help you. And so he paid for his junior high. He paid for that. But then, after he paid for that, when he was graduating from junior high, the policeman was transferred to another place. And so now he's ready to go to high school, but there's no means, no financial ways for him to go. And so he's back on the street. And he's on the street for a year. But that policeman came. And he came and he visited the village. And he saw him on the street. And he pulled him aside. Why are you on the street? He told him his condition financially. That policeman paid for his high school along with Brother Lawrence and along with us. We helped. When he finished high school, he went to college, studied finance. He was one of the top students in finance. And when he got his degree, the professor said, for a young man, for him to be as smart as he was and did the things that he did, he was blessed. And so what he said, God's been good to me. And he said, I want to thank Brother Lawrence, the preacher and proprietor of the Church of Christ in the senior high school, who adopted me, along with the policeman, who gave me a scholarship through high school and continuing his success so far. He said, I learned hard and good grades. In other words, he worked hard. He wanted to be the best that he could be by helping, and also he wanted to thank by the help and blessings from Greenville Avenue Church of Christ through the mediator, Ray Christopher, Brother Lawrence, took me through college to study business administration, finance, and he graduated with honors. And so I just want us to see that opportunity, good works. We did it, not me. We did it. Then, if you bear with me, we're almost through. I want us to see this family, this lady. She had three kids. She lost her parents at the age of 8. She was mentally challenged. Her aunt took her in. Her aunt was cruel to her, put her in a room with no window and with a door that wasn't fixed. And because of that, men would sneak in. And she ended up with 3 babies, and she don't know who the father is. And so she ended up with her children on the street. And Jacob, who I showed you earlier, Jacob the minister, he saw them on the street in his village, and he took them to Emmanuel, where the school is. He enrolled them in the school. He purchased and rented a house where the house mother is, where she stays, and where those children stay, along with the other children. Opportunity is what it's about. Good works, yes, but good works come when God provides them, but he provides the people with the heart and the passion, with the opportunities to fulfill the mission that he has for them. Because we were created in him for good works that he prepared, he planned, even before we existed. Eric Toole, preacher, those are his orphans he took in. But not only that, he started a school. And that school, he took in many of the kids. And guess what? These last month, I sent funds to him. And guess what? You see, they're eating. Who did that? We did. Using the funds to feed the children in the school and the orphans. Amen. All of them are being fed. The sheep asked the question. Jesus answered. Then shall the righteous answer him, saying, Lord, when saw we thee hungry and fed thee, athirst and gave thee drink? And when saw we thee a stranger and took you in, or naked and clothed thee? And when saw we thee? Oh, what is he saying? When saw we thee sick, or in prison and came unto thee? I want us to see, it's not what you're told. Opportunities are what you see. And then when you see, what do you do? And the king shall say unto them, verily I say unto you, inasmuch as you did it unto one of these, my brethren, even these least, you did it unto me. That's the young lady, the young girl, part of that family where the mother was mentally challenged when I saw her. And you see, she's standing there, one shoe on and one shoe dragging, half dressed. I hear you. I can see you. But she's saying, do you hear me? Can you see me? Opportunity. Then we sang a song this morning that I could hear her singing. And in the background, I could hear the orphans singing. And I could hear the orphans singing in Kenya, Uganda, Cameroon, Haiti, you name it, where we are. And they were singing, Kumbaya, my Lord. Kumbaya, Kumbaya, my Lord. Kumbaya. Kumbaya, my Lord, kumbaya, oh Lord, kumbaya. Come by here, my Lord, come by here. Someone's praying, Lord, come by here. Someone's crying, Lord, come by here. Someone's singing, Lord, come by here. Someone is dying, Lord, come by here. Kumbaya. Praise the Lord. We've come by there. Our mission objective, Bibles to all truth seekers. We want them to know the source, the root is God. And the source, where he puts us in, the source, God, then he puts us in Christ. This is where it's happening. We give them a curriculum to grow these babies in Christ from milk to meat. These aren't just baby babies. Babies, teens, adults, mature adults, senior adults, all who will come. Jesus says, come unto me, all ye that labor and heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Come. A dedicated teacher of the master teacher Jesus, we need examples for the kids, for all. Physical food, clothing, and shelter. And then make disciples by our fruit. We show, we tell. Why? Because our mission from God. Jesus commanded that you make disciples. Go and make disciples. We can do the first four. But in doing all of that, if they don't come out being disciples, we failed the job. In our showing or in our telling or in both. New creature. This is where it begins. Baptized into Christ. Galatians 3, 26 and 27. For as many of us have been baptized into Christ and put on Christ, I think I'm raising the right one. Talks about where Abraham see. Then he says, there's no Jew or Gentile. He tells what there is not. Because we're all one. Amen. And now what are we doing? We're getting back to the puzzle. In Christ, we're all just one big puzzle, brothers and sisters. For by one Spirit, we've been baptized into the one body. See? Many members, yet one body. So we want to give you the opportunity because some of you are fatherless spiritually. Some of you are homeless spiritually. Jesus is offering you the opportunity. He died for our sins according to the scriptures. He was buried. And then he was raised again the third day according to the scriptures. Well, he died for our sins. He was resurrected for our hope that we will have eternal life with him. If you're a child of God and you haven't done what you need to do, you've been going back into the kingdom of darkness. It's time to come out and come back into the kingdom of light. Repent and pray.
Amen.
And if you're not a child of God according to the scriptures, we ask you also to believe in Jesus Christ, the Son of God.
Amen.
Repent and be baptized for the remission of your sins. If you don't, hear this. Those who are on the left hand, he's going to say, depart. He said, if I was hungry and you didn't do anything, I was thirsty, you didn't do anything. I was a stranger, you didn't do anything. You took me in. You didn't even take me in when I was naked or a stranger. You didn't clothe me when I was naked. You didn't visit me when I was in prison. So this is what I got to say. When you say, then shall they also say, saying, Lord, when saw we thee? And he's going to say, verily I say unto you, inasmuch as you did not unto, in other words, when you have the opportunity, what are you going to do? I'm giving you the opportunity right now to get yourself right. But the question is, what are you going to do? And the choice is going to follow you because he said to those who didn't know him and those who didn't obey the gospel, He said, inasmuch as you did not unto one of the least, you did not unto me, and these shall go away into eternal punishment, but the righteous into eternal life. Where are you this morning, this afternoon? It's your time now. As we sing the song of invitation, it's time to make a choice and take advantage of the opportunity.
Let us stand. Just as I am without one plea, but that thy blood was shed for me, and that thou bidst me come to I come.